Gregor Robertson is co-founder and chair of Happy Planet Foods, a food and beverage company committed to supporting vibrant ecosystems and communities. Happy Planet has been twice nominated for the Ethics in Action Award and recently the recipient of the Mayor's Environmental Award for Exemplary Achievement. As an entrepreneur, Gregor Robertson has been recognized as one of the top 40 under 40 by the Globe and Mail and by Business in Vancouver magazine. This past fall, Robertson was nominated as the NDP candidate in the riding of Vancouver Fairview for this May's provincial election. His website, incidentally, is www.gregorbc.ca. Please welcome to the commentary.ca, Gregor Robertson. Good morning, good afternoon, Mr. Robertson.
Afternoon, Joseph.
Let's begin with we invited you on today because, well, I don't happen to live in Fairview. I live next door in Kensington, but I happen to know that a number of visitors to our site live and vote there. And
right.
So I thought it was apt that we ask you about the campaign and such, and perhaps we'll go into deeper political issues as we get closer to the official writ period with you. First of all, in reading your bio, you obviously have had a successful career in business, and it appears a rather stable family life. Why then would you go into the rather volatile and raucous world of provincial politics?
Well, thank you for the kind words. I am interested in being in the political arena for precisely the reason that I believe I've been successful in business and that my life has been blessed to date, and that is to bring some balance and bring some more broad and bigger vision perspective into the political arena in BC, which has been very ideological, very extreme on both ends of the spectrum historically, and I think it's time for that to change.
Were you always an NDPer?
No, I haven't been. I have not been partisan for the vast majority of my life. I joined the party in 2003, and so I have been involved in the federal campaign with the party last year, but prior to that, I was not involved with the NDP.
The common perception is that, and Mr. Campbell, the Premier, puts this out, is that he's friendly to business. You're a businessman.
Right.
Did his policies, whether they be social or political, did that drive you to the NDP and drive you into political life today?
He's certainly been, I guess you could call him an inspiration for me to get involved in politics, and inspiring, I guess, in the opposite sense of motivating me for the right reasons. I felt like he has embodied an extreme agenda that he claims is good for business. It's good for some big business and business, particularly large corporate business, that supported him in his election campaign with large donations. He has not clearly been on the side of small business, which is the vast majority of British Columbians, and his policies, I think, socially and have impacted businesses in BC to their detriment, as the social fabric in our province, particularly in rural BC, has been ripped apart by his government's agenda.
There's a lot of talk about moderates and the need for moderation, not just in your party. We saw this in North Vancouver with Dan Jarvis's nomination battle there for the
right.
BC Liberals.
Mm-hmm.
In Victoria Hillside, in your party, Rob Fleming prevailed, and he was seen as a bit more of a moderate than, let's say, the unionist Steve Orcherton.
Mm-hmm.
Is the party, do you think, by virtue of your candidature, is the party modernizing itself and sort of becoming less antagonistic towards business? It's a loaded question, I know, but...
Yes, the party is going through a necessary and a very dynamic renewal and in a way some redefinition, and that's driven largely by all the communities around BC, and the NDP is completely committed to democracy, and so the nomination races are really flowing from each community and their decision making through democratic process. So I think it's a reflection. These candidates like myself and like Rob Fleming, as you mentioned, are a reflection of communities choosing people who represent different elements of the party, which I think if you look at the whole party across the province. There is a lot of diversity. There are a lot of views around the spectrum, and at the core of it all is a commitment to strong values and strong social values, and taking care of the people in the province. And that's what unites us all. But I think we all have different ideas, and I think communities all have different needs in terms of getting to that that shared end.
The Charlie Smith in today's Georgia Strait, I haven't read it, but I've read it online this morning. He has an article there about the women not winning, not being able, at least in Vancouver and the nomination races in your party so far, to win nominations. Mm-hmm. Is that a concern to you, that there may be a lack of representation for females in the election forthcoming in May?
It's a concern. We're about a third of the way through the nominations, and I think very clearly there are not nearly the number of women candidates winning the nominations that I think all of us were expecting. And the party is committed to both men and women running for each nomination. It's built into our process to have that in our candidate searches. So it's a little unsettling, and it's not clear to me why it's happening in this way. And yet at the same time, there's two-thirds of the ridings are yet to pick their candidates, and hopefully that'll balance out, and we will have a good representation from both women and men.
Is there a quota? Is there a set percentage that the NDP is aiming for? Or?
No, and the party doesn't set goals, and the leadership of the party doesn't get involved directly in these nominations. It's up to the constituencies to do and choose their candidates. That said, there are in the Constitution there are provisions for a search committee and requirements that every effort is made to find candidates and encourage them to run, both women and men.
Back to this theme of moderates and moderations for just a sec here. Mm-hmm. Just as many people who will call for this new way that the NDP should move towards, there are those who, for better or worse, think that the years under Glenn Clark were good years. And, mm-hmm. and there are people that are of the polarizing nature who support the NDP that was in the 1990s. How do you reconcile that gulf that is there within the party between, let's say, moderates like yourself and Rob Fleming and people like Harry Lawley, Mosa Hoda, Glenn Clark?
Well,
or is that gulf not? Does that gulf exist, or am I just reading wrong into what's going on in the party now?
Yeah, at this point, it's hard to define any kind of a gulf. I think a lot of us don't know each other and haven't worked together, and that's something that will come in the future. We're all committed to the values of the party. We're all committed to bringing change to the government of BC, and I think unanimously are opposed to the kind of extreme agenda that Gordon Campbell has perpetrated over the last 4 years. So that's our shared objective here. There are certainly lessons learned from the mistakes made in the past. I think there are a lot of us interested in moving forward and learning from those mistakes, but not dwelling on them. Certainly what we've seen since the last NDP government, I think, in a lot of our opinions, has been considerably worse and more damaging to the province and the communities of the province, families in this province, and that's what we need to address right now, and we're going to do our best going forward on that.
We're speaking with Gregor Robertson. He's the NDP candidate in the riding of Vancouver-Fairview in the upcoming provincial election in May. In Fairview, your opponent up to very recently was to have been Gary Collins. You acknowledged then that it would have been an uphill battle going up against an MLA like Collins, not to mention that he was a finance minister and he's held the riding since 1991. Do you think that going into the race then with him as the opponent, that you were confident that you were going to win this?
I was confident. I haven't been shakeable on that. I was confident in taking on Gary Collins, thinking that I represented a significant alternative to Gary Collins and the way he had represented the community, he didn't do a very good job with the community. He was not accessible. He didn't listen. He was always tied up in Victoria with his cabinet post, which is understandable, but was not responsive to the needs of the community. And I think had become somewhat alienated, so I felt like I had a very good chance of defeating Gary Collins. And I think going forward, I'm not overly concerned who my opponent is. Ultimately, it's Gordon Campbell and what he stands for, and that's my big goal, is to be part of ending Gordon Campbell's years in government.
Virginia Green, she's the name most talked about as succeeding Collins in the nomination there. Is that the only name that you've heard?
That's the only name that I have heard, and in all likelihood that she will be the candidate. It looks to be handpicked by Gordon Campbell as an old friend of his. So, at this point, it's hard to know if there are others. There doesn't seem to be any significant race or democratic process around choosing a candidate for the Liberals. It looks like it'll be nomination by acclamation.
Your campaign put out a press release earlier this week challenging Ms. Green to... it's about women's centers, was it?
Right.
What was that about?
Well, Gordon Campbell's one of his more mean-spirit and devastating cuts that impacted women in this province was relatively small in dollars, under $2 million that was cut from women's centers around the province. Which forced closures, which forced quite a bit of strife and hardship, particularly with those centers, particularly affecting urban areas, Vancouver primary in that. And I feel like Virginia Green, if she is to be the Liberal candidate for Vancouver Fairview, and she is to hold the interests of women as she has spoken about in her announcement to seek the nomination, she could prove something to us all, and prove that she has the ear and support of Gordon Campbell in urging the Premier to reinstate that funding to women's centers. I think it's one thing to be high-minded with talk about it, but let's see some action. Let's see that funding reinstated.
I was just thinking, 2001, the NDP candidate there, I can't remember who it was, but they came in third, did they not?
Correct.
Will the Greens be a factor for you in Fairview? And to build on that, will they be a factor provincially?
I'm not anticipating the Greens being a significant factor in Fairview or in the province, for that matter. I think most British Columbians understand there's a very clear choice here and are going to be supporting the NDP as the alternative, as the party that can win government back from Gordon Campbell's Liberals. And I think the Greens in Fairview, the last Green candidate in 2001 in Vancouver Fairview who came second was Vanessa Violini, and she is working with me on my campaign, has joined the NDP. She feels very strongly that she needs to rally her support around me, because I represent a lot of the values that she does, and the important thing right now is that people who share these values all get together and work for change in government.
Well, when you travel the constituency, you said that Mr. Collins, when he was the MLA, was unresponsive to the issues that were relevant to the community. Ms. Green does not live in the riding. What do you hear from as you stump around the riding? What do you hear are the concerns of the community going into May's election?
It's a good question. They're very real concerns specific to health care And we have VGH and Children's, significant amount of health activity in the healthcare realm in the riding. A lot of HU workers and nurses and doctors as well, and a great deal of activity economically represented in the healthcare industry. So getting our healthcare system the kind of attention that it needs, not necessarily pouring more and more dollars into it, but improving our healthcare system, I think, all around, and really investing in change from the top, leadership for that change within government, which we have not seen. We've seen the opposite. That's an important issue in the riding. Education is a big issue, as we have a lot of students, a lot of university students who have been severely affected by the hike in tuition, the loss of training apprenticeship programs, real impacts to the opportunities for younger people, and this is a very young riding. There's almost 60% of the riding is under 40, so there are a lot of people who are going to school still, are looking for opportunities, and they've been dramatically affected by this government. So education is a big one. I think livability is, as a general umbrella, that covers transportation and the government's agenda on the RAV line, I think, was unfortunate. I think there are a lot of people in the riding that do support the RAV line to reduce traffic and congestion and pollution, and yet the way that it was done, I think, left a lot to be desired in terms of representing the interests of the riding and having some community process, which there was not. Housing is certainly an issue, affordable housing. There has been no real investment in social housing. There are a lot of co-ops, housing co-ops in the riding, and they have not had a fair shake in terms of support and funding, and there have not been more opportunities, which has forced a lot of people out of the riding as real estate prices go up and rents go up. So affordability, leaky condos is another one within livability as well, where the government has not addressed any, but they've just basically been asleep at the wheel on this. So there are very real concerns about the growth of the city and the expense of living in it, and air and water pollution, environmental concerns, and all those kind of bundle up into livability as a third really important concern for this riding.
The one thing that I noticed about, and I noticed this late last week, about Gordon Campbell's leadership, is that he seems to be the front for his party, his government, and rightfully so. He's the leader. A lot of MLAs that were elected in 2001 were elected on his coattails, and I'm sure in May this election will be a referendum on him.
Mm-hmm.
How do you think Carol James has done in presenting herself as an alternative to Gordon Campbell? Has she been able to resonate with British Columbians across the province?
Well, we're just starting. I think most British Columbians are just starting to hear from Carol James. I think her media exposure has been very limited to date. She spent the vast majority of the last 15 months traveling around the province and meeting in communities, meeting with thousands and thousands of people and listening to them. Something that echoes of what Mike Harcourt did in the late 80s, and really getting to know what the concerns are and make sure that the communities around the provinces, that those communities are heard from, and that directly informs what her agenda as the NDP leader is, and hopefully as the premier of the province is. I think we're going to see Carol really step out into the limelight now, and we're going to see her for what she is, which is a strong leader, very strong-minded, very clear, and a great listener. I think she's got amazing talents in being able to build collaborative and cooperative agreement between diverse interests and groups of people, and that's something that we haven't seen for some time in BC's government. We've had very confrontational and top-down leadership, and Carol represents a big change, a real fresh approach from that, where where people are listened to and consulted and involved in decision making. And I think we're ready for that as a province. I that's part of the reason that I got involved at this time in politics, was feeling like here's a real breath of fresh air and here's a real opportunity for people to be heard and for government to kind of make a fundamental shift into being responsive to our people's needs.
The May election will have a referendum on electoral reform. What's your position on the ballot question? Are you in favor or against the STV proposal?
I haven't made up my mind on STV yet. I was disappointed, admittedly, that mixed member proportional representation was not chosen by the Citizens Assembly. I think the process was a good one. It was admirable to have a Citizens Assembly that worked through this. I was disappointed that they chose STV in a system that hasn't really been tried and tested in a lot of governments around the world. It's very, very limited in terms of where it's in practice. That said, I haven't made up my mind if it's better than what we have right now. I'm still looking at that. And ultimately, it's going to be up to the citizens of BC to decide this one. And it's a high bar that's set for approving the change. So it'll be difficult, I think, for it to pass at this point. But it'll be an interesting one to follow.
Will the party come out with a position for the referendum, or will candidates be able to support whatever side they support?
The party is looking at it. The provincial council of the party will be discussing that, I believe, at the next provincial council meeting later this winter to form the party's official position on that. And then candidates, as far as I know, will be sharing that the party's position.
Gregor Robertson, thank you for talking with us today, and we hope to speak with you again as we get closer to the campaign.
Thank you for inviting me on, Joseph.
And as well, we'd like to ask that any other candidates with whatever party they belong to, we'd be pleased to provide equal time whenever it's mutually convenient. Gregor Robertson is the NDP candidate in Vancouver Fairview. For the commentary, I'm Joseph Plenum.